Welcome to Friend of Maryland. My name is Kat Pause, and this is a fat-friendly space. Welcome to a special edition of Friend of Maryland. In this episode, I spend the full time chatting with Marilyn Wan about the work that she does to promote fat liberation. Joining me is Marilyn Wan, a fat activist from San Francisco and the author of the book Fatso. Marilyn, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
I'm so glad to be here. You rock.
Oh, that's so kind. I'm so ridiculously excited to have you on the show. Yay.
Yay, me too.
So I think it would actually be really great if you just talked a little bit about the work that you do.
Awesome. You know, it's a lot like fun. I mean, it really is fun to feel good about myself and then to encourage other people to feel good about themselves and take good care of ourselves, of course, but also just be a little bit of a rebel. And so that's what I think I've been doing since the mid-90s. I've been a rebel. I started because here in the United States, I was working for myself, and I didn't have health insurance. And I tried to buy health insurance, and I was told that I wouldn't be allowed, not for any amount of money, to buy health insurance because of what I weighed, and only based on my weight, they were saying that. I thought that was outrageous. And it just so happened that the same day I was having dinner with this guy, and he told me that he was embarrassed to introduce me to some of his friends because I was a fat person. And I just, that combination, I am still outraged about being excluded based on an institution or a social interaction for my weight. And I'm still, you know, really excited to disagree with that exclusion. So that was my start. I had a really bad day, and I decided that I wasn't going to take it any longer. And so I started a print zine, like a magazine, called Fatso. And I don't remember how I thought of the name, but I was trying to remember names that I had been called by bullies when I was a child, because I think that's where a lot of people feel turned into like an other person, not one of the regular people. And I thought about Fatso, and I've used that as the name of a lot of things that I've done. So the zine was called Fatso, but it was fat exclamation point. So, question mark.
Nice.
And I think I'm still asking that question. You know, I'm fat. So, you know, there are fat people in the world. So why do we make a big thing of this? And so what are we all going to do to live together well? So I did the print zine, and it had lots of kind of humor and sassiness and different really wonderful pieces of writing from people who contributed stuff. And every issue I would throw a party, and people could have their body photographed, but just one part of their body. So the first issue was butts and then bellies, and I called it Anatomy Lesson. And it was trying to be a visual re-education for us to see diversity of body parts, because I think in the media we see kind of the same bodies over and over and over for different genders, like for what's called men and women. So that was really fun. I started getting subscription checks, which was really fun, but even more amazing was I remember this one woman wrote me a letter, you know, with her, you know, a handwritten letter with a pen, and it said, "This zine was the first thing that ever made me feel okay."
Wow.
And that's the kind of thing that you will find if you speak against, if you rebel against hatred, weight-based hatred, you will find that people really needed that and didn't even know how badly they needed it. And you'll be the person who brings that to them. So it's all the more reason for all of us to be rebels. So partly for my own outrage, and then partly for the excitement of giving people something that we all need, which is a feeling that we are worthy human beings as we are, and that we can rebel. And partly for my larger outrage for all of the stories that people started telling me of the ways that fat people and thin people, the ways that their lives were just being crushed and limited and miserable or whatever because of weight prejudice or weight stereotype or weight-based judgments. So I started with the zine, and then a couple of years after I started the zine, I got invited to write a book based on Fatso, the zine. So that the book is also called Fatso. And it just is a compendium of stuff from the zine and also a lot of other stuff that I wrote back in 1999. And it's still in print, and people are still buying it and finding it as a radicalizing jumping-off point for their own liberation. And I think one of the things I'm proudest of about the book is that, well, there are two things. One, when you flip the pages, there's a little drawing on each page in the corner of a fat lady, and if you flip the pages, it's an animation, and she takes off her muumuu and dances around in a mini dress. So I think that all books should have built-in toys.
Absolutely.
Especially books about fat oppression should have a built-in toy to reward you for your heroism and even thinking about the topic. So I really appreciate the artist, Ron Soule, who created that that flipbook. And then the other thing I'm proud of for the Fatso book is that, in addition to the fact that it's 12 years later and it's still in print, amazingly enough, is the fact that when it came out, the librarians for young people listed it in their list of like 50 or 60 books that year that they recommended for reluctant young readers. And so I can't imagine a more fabulous population of people to be, you know, considered a good book for is like reluctant young people who are reluctant, young people who are reluctant to read a book.
That's fantastic.
That's pretty fun. So I guess overall, I just keep following the stepping stones from whatever I'm doing to whatever I want to do next that seems like really fun and really rebellious. So I've gotten to be a confidence coach on some reality TV show that was made in England for England. And I've gotten to be on The Tonight Show, which is a big, you know, one of the big late night TV shows here in the U.S., with a group of synchronized swimmers, fat synchronized swimmers called the Padded Lilies, which that's really good fun to put on like a colorful bikini and then one of those rubber caps with the flowers that stick out in all the different colors.
I've seen their video on YouTube. They're fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're necessary, those caps. They're really tools of revolution. And so we got to be on like a major national TV show and they built us a little pool just for us to do synchronized swimming in. So that was pretty fun. I mean, you never know what being a rebel and having fun with it is going to take you to. So what else have I gotten to do? I've gotten invited all over the world to give weight diversity talks. I got to go to Iceland, which was incredible. And everyone in Iceland speaks English, almost everyone. And so all these people showed up, and I thought, well, it's going to be really different. All the same stuff that I usually say isn't necessarily going to happen or be meaningful in Iceland. But it was. It's all the same stuff everywhere. Unfortunately, I think American culture is exporting all of these kinds of messages, you know, with Baywatch and with whatever else, you know, weight loss, obesity, fear-mongering that our culture creates is being exported to other countries. So gotten to do a ton of fun things. I worked with people who were starting a project in the U.S. called Big Moves, which is bringing dance to fat dancers and bringing fat dancers into the mainstream dance world. So I was part of a hip-hop dance troupe for a while in my 30s, and that was super fun, the Fat Fly Girls, and they're still going strong, so that's really wonderful. And more recently, in the last several years, I've been making what I call yay scales. So, you know, like celebrating, like, yay! And what those are bathroom scales that have been liberated from their formerly oppressive function. So I instead of the numbers on the dial, I put a new dial that has complimentary words so that if you step on a yay scale, you find out what you yay. So it might say that you yay sexy or gorgeous or beautiful or attractive or hot or perfect or whatever. So I've been making yay scales and selling them online at a friend's online shop called Voluptuart. And people around the world have bought them, so I've had to translate it into Japanese and into Icelandic and into French and whatever else, Spanish. So that's pretty fun, and I think a yay scale is a useful thing to have around just for personal life. It's also really good if anyone is doing any kind of work on, you know, psychological or physical health, you know, to have that as an alternative to the usual scale is really nice. And then I also really just like to go out on a street corner on a Sunday midday and anywhere where people are just kind of walking by casually and invite people to step on the yay scale, and their reactions are really incredible. And it helps me to know that I don't need to envy thin people, first because I can try to get all of the things that are usually only given to thin people for myself directly without having to change my body, but also that thin people don't necessarily have it all that easy, that they're carrying around a lot of negative feelings about their own appearance. And they step on a yay scale and they feel so much better. And so we can all be in solidarity on that. So,
well, I have to say, I have a yay scale and I love it.
That is so awesome. Now, did you make yours or did you get one
from
me? Oh,
no, I did. I bought one of yours from online.
And oh, how wonderful. Thank you.
It's such a fantastic thing to step on a scale, which for me and for a lot of women, especially women that I know, is associated with despair, grief, fear, anxiety, and to get on it and for it to say something positive to you, for it to tell you that you're beautiful and fabulous and all of these things that we would hopefully already know about ourselves. But it's just great to get that from the scale. And I have to say that if I had an unlimited amount of money, part of what I would make my life mission to be would be to replace every scale in the world with a yay scale.
Wow. I like your vision. I love the vision and the ambition of it. And I think it's possible. I mean, we didn't used to have scales in our world. And then they were invented. And then, like Albert Einstein says, not everything that's meaningful can be measured. And not everything that can be measured is meaningful.
Right.
And I think that the meanings that our society has put onto the simple fact of what a person weighs are crushing. They're a heavy, heavy burden. And I think the yay scale is actually much more meaningful and much more accurate in a sense, you know? And it does a lot more good for our health to know that we yay something and to have that affirming of our value than to feel that our bodies are no good unless they're some completely different body. And I just really want to respect that people come in all different body types and that we can treat our bodies well and not try to turn them into something they were never constructed to be. You know, that each one of us has a kind of a body type that we are, and to try to turn into a totally different body type is not a health-enhancing process, in my opinion, not that I'm a professional or anything.
So you've done synchronized swimming. You've done dancing. You ask people on random street corners to step on the A scale. And you're also more recently involved in a flash mob.
A flash mob? Yeah. It's a flash mob and a flesh mob.
Yeah.
thank you. In San Francisco, because of some work that the community did, and I got to be really, really an organizer in this, and I'm so proud of it and proud of our community, we convinced the local city government to add height and weight to the anti-discrimination law. And so in San Francisco, I feel like it's a special place, like other places, the very few places that have these kinds of laws. And this year, in San Francisco, on the one holiday that is celebrated in fat community, on May 6th, International No Diet Day, one of the world's leading obesity researchers came to town to lecture on the evils of fat people. And it just made my head explode to imagine the combination of that. You know, he's coming to San Francisco, a city that affirms equal rights for people of all sizes, and on our holiday, right, on International No Diet Day, which was started by Mary Evans Young in England in the 90s. So I just had to respond. I wanted to do something to interrupt this guy's talk at his obesity conference. And I don't believe in the word obesity as any kind of scientific or diagnostic meaningfulness. So I only use that because that's what they call it. But I like the F word, fat. So this guy, his name is Xavier Paysanier, and he, in the late 90s, convinced the World Health Organization and the U.S. government to lower the weights that are considered overweight and obese, those O words that I don't believe in. And then he goes around the world just promoting the sales of weight loss treatments, you know, in the healthcare system, which I consider really dangerous to people's health. So I thought, what would be fun? And I worked with a friend who's a musician, and we made up this kind of funk song, you know, like a funk dance nightclub song that goes, heads, shoulders, no, chins, bellies, hips, and ass, hips, and ass. Say it with pride. And so the lyrics of the song tell you how to do the dance. You don't have to get people together to rehearse or learn choreography. So you may know the children's song, like, chins. Now, how does it go? Heads, shoulders, knees and toes, right?
That one? Yeah.
So I just decided to make that song a little less boring and stupid sounding. So we did chins, bellies, hips, and ass. So I got together, like, maybe there were, actually, I know exactly, there were 17 amazing people who showed up to interrupt this obesity conference. And we coordinated, and I had someone kind of distracting the official person who might have tried to stop us. He did a brilliant job. And we just walked in, and I started the music playing on the boombox, and we just started dancing, and we just walked down the main aisle of this conference room, and the guy talking, Xavier Paysanier, he tried to keep talking for a while. He was giving this incredibly boring PowerPoint presentation about inflammation. And here we are being inflammatory, right?
Nice.
Some of the people in the room, I think, thought that maybe we were some kind of hired entertainment, so they started clapping along. And then, like, the speaker stopped talking and looked really confused, and we were still dancing and being really fun. And then he tried to start talking again, and we were still dancing, and so he stopped. I don't know. Anyway, finally the official person came down at us and said, you know, you're not allowed to be here. Shame on you. She literally used the words, shame on you, and you're not allowed to be here, which isn't that so interesting that happy fat people dancing and having a good time are not allowed to be at an obesity conference, and we should be ashamed. So we agreed to leave, but we danced slowly with loud music playing out of the room, and I think we were probably the most memorable thing that any of the people saw at that conference.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And I think that the people who are what I call obesity fear mongers, they think that no one is going to question them or that no one can interrupt their, like, monologue, you know, that there's no debate on this topic, that they've kind of won, that they're the winners, and they've defined the world for everyone on this topic. And it's really fun to rebel against that power dynamic, you know? Because I do question the effect on people's health of our public health officials saying all the time, if you're fat, you're going to get sick and you're going to die. Just for the simple fact that we know about the placebo effect. If your doctor says, here's a pill, it's going to make you feel better, even if it's a sugar pill that has no medical value, you take it and you actually do feel better. So what our doctors are telling us all the time is powerful. And the opposite of the placebo effect, the nocebo effect, is when our doctors are shaking their fingers at us all the time and saying, don't you dare gain weight. If you're fat, you're going to get sick and you're going to die. And so just the powerful effect of those words, I think, in addition to all of the discriminatory and dangerous weight loss practices that are then put forward, I think really they need to reconsider what they're doing. And I'm pleased to be a rebel against that system of medicine. So that was a super fun thing to do. And some of the people, it was like the first rebellious protest action they had ever done. And they had such an amazing good time. And pretty soon I'm going to have a friend who is editing. She videotapes the whole thing. So she's going to edit it together and put it on YouTube.
Oh, fantastic.
So people can check that out.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Marilyn, for talking with us about the wide variety of work that you're doing and the wide types of fat activism that you're engaging in.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Kat. And I know that you are a rebel there, and you're rebelling by taking over the airwaves, and I really encourage everyone who's listening to be a rebel.
That's right. Be a rebel.
Yeah, totally.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Marilyn. Closing the show is Heart with Crazy on You.